This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, April 13th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. In a moment on the program, money is back in the budget for a major trail that will traverse much of northwest Arkansas. And the duo Strawberry Swing plays inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Christopher Copeland and Brennan Leeds attend school in Clarksville. They have a CD ready to arrive in stores this spring. Before that, though, a reminder that this is the spring fundraiser for KUAF. During this week, we'll tell you how your financial support allows us to pay for the NPR programs you listen to, like Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and Talk of the Nation. But your support has also allowed us to bring you this program, Ozarks at Large. For the past 9 months, we've been on every weekday at noon. And while Morning Edition and On the Media are amazing resources for understanding what's happening around the world and across the country, those programs aren't very likely to offer a report on why invasive plants in Fayetteville are being targeted for removal, or what the collection at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville is becoming, or how the U.S. Marshals Museum in Fort Smith is developing, or what the reaction was when the Arkansas Supreme Court upheld a decision striking down Initiated Act 1. Those are all stories we've had on Ozarks at Large in just the past few weeks and months. Your support lets us tell you more about where you live and lets you hear voices from around the region you might not hear anywhere else. You can add your financial support to the pool right now, 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also contribute online safely and securely at KUAF.com. Your contributions made it possible for the creation of this program that can invite writers, elected officials, and singers to our multiple studios at KUAF and help you better know what's happening in your town or the one next to yours politically and culturally. Those of us who work on Ozarks at Large feel incredibly fortunate to work on local news. Not many stations in the country, especially stations in areas of this size, have committed to a daily, hour-long program devoted to local events and news. You've told us with your words that you appreciate learning more about where you live, and thousands of listeners have told us they appreciate KUAF's programming, both local and national, through financial support. You pick the amount you contribute, and you decide on the method of payment. The people who use KUAF are the people who pay the majority of our programming bills. You can call right now, 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. You can also contribute online at KUAF.com. And from everyone that works on Ozarks at Large, thank you very much. This is Ozarks at Large. $15 million in federal aid to construct a pedestrian and bicycle trail connecting Fayetteville to Bentonville was cut in February by Congress as part of a massive federal budget deficit reduction measure. Late last week, a portion of that funding was reinstated thanks to a concerted effort by state and federal agencies. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
The project is tentatively called the Razorback Regional Greenway. It's a 36-mile-long bicycle, pedestrian, and mobility corridor, and it will link the cities of Bentonville, Rogers, Lowell, Springdale, Johnson, and Fayetteville. In spring 2009, the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission established the Northwest Arkansas Active Transportation Committee, made up of local planners, advocacy groups, and interested citizens. It was charged with designing a trail from Bella Vista to Fayetteville. The Walton Family Foundation initiated the program by contracting with a national consulting firm, Alta Planning and Design, to locate and prioritize a specific backbone trail corridor. The foundation also pledged a $15 million match to any money raised. Last August, planners applied for federal aid for the trail. Under the Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery, or TIGER II, grant program, part of a 2010 Appropriations Act designed to continue investments in transportation infrastructure, all six city mayors signed on. In October, the program was awarded $15 million in federal aid. But that trail money was taken away in February. after the House Appropriations Committee introduced a continuing resolution, which we're hearing a lot about right now, H.R. 1, to cut spending by $100 billion from the president's fiscal year 2011 budget, the largest single discretionary spending reduction in the history of Congress. The Senate, as it was widely reported, stood in opposition. John McLarty is Transportation Study Director for the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission. He said the threat to the trails funding only made the committee more determined.
So that just put us into high gear, really, to explore all the possibilities, to accelerate our process. Because another thing, even in H.R. 1, it said the Tiger II funds that were not obligated were going to be rescinded. So we just jumped into high gear to do all things necessary to obligate the funds.
The Planning Commission, working in concert with state agencies and stakeholders, fast-tracked the trail project by conducting historical and environmental studies in order to obligate the funds to fix them.
What you do is we sent letters of request to the State Historic Preservation Office and the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission and U.S. Fish and Wildlife and to the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department, Environmental Division, and said, we need to start this process. And what we were asking for is what's called a categorical exclusion for the, for the environmental clearance. And that doesn't mean you don't do any environmental work. That just means that because a trail is not the same as, say, an interstate interchange or just an interstate highway footprint, that trails, even in the federal regs, kind of by their nature are considered to be a low environmental impact. But you still have to make sure that you're, causing a problem, an adverse impact on endangered species, wetlands, historic sites. So you still have to check that out and do a first-level look. So we had, all those commissions all, jumped into gear, and we realized the timeliness and everything. So that's kind of one of the messages out of this, is we had an extraordinary level of cooperation from the federal and state agencies, including the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department, but also U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And, nothing was, ignored or skirted or not done correctly. They just all, multiple agencies jumped into gear, simultaneously.
The Arkansas Highway Transportation Department deployed its field archaeologists last Thursday to look at sites the State Historic Preservation Office had identified. It came back with a finding of no adverse impact. Regional planners immediately sent their findings on to the Federal Highway Administration, indicating it had fulfilled the necessary historical and environmental scoping protocol. That resulted in the reinstatement of $3.2 million of the Tiger II grant for trail engineering and design being obligated for 16 miles of the trail.
The full 36 miles goes from all the way from South Fayetteville up to the north side of Bentonville. And a big portion, say, in the south end of that in Fayetteville is the Skull Creek Trail. Well, it's already built. And they still need some work to get Skull Creek Trail down to Town Branch. And then there's a segment that's going to come up on the north side of Fayetteville through Johnson. So those portions in Fayetteville and Johnson, and then also the work that's already been done and being done in Bentonville, are not part of the federal aid project. They're proceeding on their own timetable. And, they're being worked as city projects. So the federal aid is only the 16 miles that includes all of Springdale, Lowell, and up to Rogers. And Rogers has some pieces already on the ground. So the full 36 miles stitches together some trail, quite a bit of trail that's already there.
The Walton Family Foundation's $15 million challenge cost share is still in place, John McLarty says, as the project picks up steam.
I think this needs to be a strong message, though, is that other people can jump in, The Family Foundation doesn't view themselves as the exclusive providers of local match. So they kind of, you know, they will be there with the funding to make the federal aid project successful. But if other entities wanted to jump in and help with that $3,750,000, let's just say all are welcome to provide, you know, to help provide those local funds. But the, but they did assure, you know, Regional Planning Commission that that they could provide the match for the to go for us to go ahead and commit to the matching agreement for the federal aid project. $15 million.
Cities along the trail are also contributing resources and funds. Construction is slated for later this summer.
Well, there are two segments up in Rogers that are the closest to being ready for construction. And it's the two parts that go under the I-540, one up around the New Hope Road and then one down kind of in the promenade area. Possibly a groundbreaking in September, August or September. For those two segments in Rogers, and then later in the fall for the rest of the trail, portions of the rest of the trail.
A year ahead of schedule, McLarty says. Still, nothing is set in asphalt. Federal funding for the Razorback Regional Greenway remains at risk.
With the potential that the Tiger II money may or may not be there. So we only secured the design and engineering. And we're literally waiting to see if the Tiger II funds survive this week and, you know, pass this continuing resolution that we're on right now that expires whatever Thursday or Friday. If the if those Tiger II funds are taken out of the rest of fiscal year 2011, then that construction money won't be there. We'll just have design and engineering done, so we'll have our plans and something ready to go to bid with, and no construction money. If the Tiger II funds survive this week of budget negotiations, then we'll have at least till the end of the federal fiscal year, the 2011 fiscal year, which is September 30th, we will have at least till then to obligate those construction funds. And to obligate the construction funds, you've got to have a construction, what's called a bid package, the plan, specs, and estimates. So it's still a horse race.
According to the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission, the trail, once built, will be a national model for active transportation, green infrastructure, healthy living, equitable and sustainable economic development, and public-private partnerships. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you'd like to learn more, you can search Razorback Regional Greenway at the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission website. That's nwarpc.org, nwarpc.org. You can find that link at ozarksatlarge.com. And don't forget, you can now find out what's going to be on Ozarks at Large every day by going to our Facebook page. Just search Ozarks at Large at Facebook. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. Ahead, W.Dale Warren will give us a preview of next week's concerts from the UA Concert Band, Symphonic Band, and more. Over two nights at Walton Arts Center next week. Much new music will be played. W.Dale Warren will give us a preview in just a couple of minutes on Ozarks at Large. This is the spring fundraiser for KUAF 91.3 FM. Many people have already called in. We're more than halfway to our spring fundraiser goal of $150,000. If you haven't done so yet, 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. This is how public radio works. If you don't know by now, perhaps you've heard us talk about this before, but it's worth mentioning again because it has been a successful formula for more than 26 years at KUAF. The programs we run on KUAF, Ozarks at Large, Talk of the Nation, All Things Considered, Fresh Air, all of them cost money, either for us to produce locally or to buy from NPR or PRI or American Public Media. The majority of our programming budget comes from you and listeners like you, people who can contribute what they afford. It's all pooled together, thousands of contributions put together, and then we can pay the price tags for the programs that you enjoy listening to on KUAF. It's a very simple procedure, and we don't tell you what to give. You best know how much you use KUAF. You best know your budget. If it helps to be able to break your pledge up over 10 or 12 months or quarterly, you can do that as well. The important thing is that you understand your vital role in public radio. In your listening habit is really dependent on your financial support. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Or you can give online at KUAF.com. We know we have to raise $150,000 this spring. That's the amount we need to raise during this fundraising week to feel secure that we can bring you all the programs that we do right now, from Prairie Home Companion and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me to Morning Edition. $150,000. Sounds like a lot, but we're not asking one or two or five or even 100 different people to do that. We're asking thousands, people like you. If you haven't contributed yet, consider doing so right now. It takes no more than 2 minutes. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. I know for many people, when you're listening to Ozarks at Large, especially the first version that runs at noon at this time of day, you might be in your car, you might be at your desk at lunch, and it's not the most convenient time to make a call. But if you're thinking about it right now, maybe you need to wait till you stop your car and call on your cell phone, or you're at your desk and you can contribute online. Why not do so right now? You know you're doing your part to help keep the public radio you listen to on the air, your public radio station. Again, the number is 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com, and thank you very much. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Both houses of Arkansas's legislature have agreed to a congressional redistricting compromise. That means that the 2011 legislative session should end by the end of the day today. Lawmakers crafted the map over the weekend after a prolonged disagreement between the two houses. The plan that appears ready to be adopted replaces one that would have moved Fayetteville into the 4th District. That map now no longer exists. Representative Tracy Pernarts of Fort Smith opposed the latest map, however, telling lawmakers it would split her metro area. Indeed, the latest plan does split Crawford County, the city of Alma, and Sebastian County. However, legislative leaders defended their proposal and its quick approval. House Speaker Robert Moore says population shifts dictated that some cities would change congressional districts, and the latest map, he says, was the fairest way to do it. A drafting error, a minor one, means that lawmakers will gather one last time today to complete the work. Redistricting was the last task of this year's legislative session. There are hopes that a new law will give Arkansas homeowners who are facing foreclosure more tools to keep their homes. The bill was sponsored by State Representative Tiffany Rogers of Stuttgart. It was signed into law last month. Yesterday, alongside Attorney General Dustin McDaniel, she said there has often been confusion for homeowners facing foreclosure.
The difficulties included knowing where the loan was even located, much less what options were available to them so that they could make good on their debt and keep their homes as their possession. This legislation requires the mortgage service to provide homeowners copies of all relevant documents before initiating the foreclosure.
The Consumer Protection Division of the Attorney General's office says it receives dozens of calls each month from homeowners who don't have adequate information on what steps can be taken to keep their homes. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studios, W.D.L. Warren, back to tell us about concerts that the university bands will have on the 19th and 20th.
Walmart Center. That's right.
Well, Tuesday night, the 19th, it's the UA Campus Band first. You start off with Gustav Holst.
Well, we do, because it's such a delightful way to begin a program. It's a march, but it's one of those clever things that he's so good at, and it's traditional, and it's wind band music. I mean, it's what it is. And then we go into a brand new piece by John Stevens called Benediction, which is stunning. John's at the University of Wisconsin and has got some great works out there. Matter of fact, the Chicago Symphony just premiered his Train piece, which was really cool. And then we go into another very standard wind band composer, Clifton Williams, on his Celebration Overture. Now, Clifton is an Arkansan. He grew up in Traskwood. And if you know where that is, I'll pay you.
I have lived in Arkansas for more than 40 years, and I've never heard of Traskwood.
Well, it's a bedroom community of Malvern.
Oh, well, there you go. Yes. Of course.
And that's where we grew up. We're going to feature the two trumpeters with each of the four bands, which we thought was a pretty cool concept. And so Rex is going to play the concert etude of Alexander Gedecky, which is a very standard trumpet piece and a lot of fun to play. And the accompaniment's hard as nails, so that makes it fun for the students, not just a boom-bomb thing, but they get to really work it out. And when he's not dazzling you, then they get to dazzle you. So there's a lot of trade back and forth. And then another fairly new composition by Pierre Laplante, which is a terrific wind band writer also, is Legend and Heroes. And that's a multi-movement work. It's about 9 minutes, and it's got everything that you can imagine, based on really beautiful folk hymns and folk songs and chorale pieces. And so we think that that's a pretty delightful start to the evening.
You take a break, the symphonic band comes on, and another...
Bada boom, John Williams.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we like to hit you over the head right off the bat. I mean, Sound the Bells is one of those spectacular opening fanfare pieces that John is so perfect. It's like you would be in Prague where every tower in the city would be going off simultaneously. So you have all these hundreds of bells in the towers going off. So
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Excuse my ignorance. Does that mean there will actually be literal bells or instruments that will sound like
yes
bells?
And yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a yes answer because every metallic percussion instrument you can imagine has been employed in this piece. You know, you would think, if you didn't look on stage, you would think there was probably an army of handbell players and an army of chime players and et cetera, crotales, all the metallic tuned, you know, pitched instruments. So that's why it sounds so festive. All right. Then we're going to go into Joe Turin's Lullaby for Noah, which is another just stunning, gorgeous Joe Turin, the composer in residence for the New York Philharmonic. And then we're going to feature Alan. You know, so we've already featured Rex that evening. So Alan's going to come out and do the Ode for Trumpet by Alfred Reed. Again, another standard in the repertoire for the trumpet literature. And he'll dazzle the crowd. And then the symphonic band will close with Norman Della Gioia's Variants on a Medieval Tune. And a lot of people think that's the best piece he ever wrote. And it's another huge staple in the wind band repertoire.
That's Tuesday night.
Just one night, right?
Get some sleep.
that's not going to happen.
Wednesday the 20th, you come back. It's the concert band and the wind symphony. The concert band begins.
Right. Klaxon March, again, traditional start with Henry Fillmore. Doesn't get any better. And, of course, if you know anything about the Klaxon, it's the automobile, and there's the car horn part that made that automobile so unique. So it's just cool. It's fun. And then we're doing another gorgeous piece by Pavel Tezhnikov called Salvation is Created, just a stunning setting of Russian choral literature. And then Mark Camphouse, who's a composer, wrote a gorgeous piece called Yosemite Autumn, and he's very big into the national parks. And, of course, he's in Yosemite. It's autumn. I mean, you get the title. And then we're going to bring Rex out to play East St. Louis Toodaloo. But it's a Duke Ellington tune, you know, and kind of his signature tune. And unfortunately, I think it's kind of fallen off the planet a little bit. But hopefully, we're going to resurrect it
a bit.
There you go. And Rex, of course, does a spectacular job with it.
Oh, I bet he has fun with that
off-the-chart
tune.
Fun. And then we're going to close with Jean Bondarousse's Rikedem, which is a set of four Israeli folk songs, which are really pretty sweet. And lots of variety, lots of cool ethnic sounds. I think the audience will really enjoy that piece.
Then intermission. Now, we've talked about a lot of exciting things, and I'm not going to try to say one is more exciting than the other.
Well, we don't try to do that.
That's right. But there is something very exciting beginning the UA Wind Symphony.
Well, everybody knows by now, unless you've been in a cave hiding out, that Augusta Reed Thomas is going to arrive here Sunday and be with us for an entire week. And she's our composer in residence, and we're going to have a big Friday night premiere of a piece she's written for our school and, you know, our university, our community. And so we're all just thrilled to have her because she's one of the great composers of this era. And I didn't say women composers. She wrote, as a matter of fact, this fanfare was written for the, if I can say it right, sesquicentennial for Northwestern University. It's easier just to say the 150th anniversary. But it's really 2 minutes long. In her program, she says it's 100 seconds but 1,500 notes. You know, she's going to be with us, and that's going to be very special. And she'll have a chance to work with the students, et cetera. After we do that opening fanfare, and that only has 16 players, by the way. It's not the full ensemble. We come out and do this beautiful setting of October by Eric Whitaker, who's kind of the choral dude right now. He just did his second virtual choir on YouTube, and I hope our listeners will get out there and check that out. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Eric's an amazing composer. And he set this for wind band himself, and he says this is actually better than the choral version. So then our anchor piece for the wind symphony that night is the monumental Arnold Schoenberg Theme and Variations Opus 43A. And written it right at the height of World War II. Of course, he's already escaped Nazi Germany. He's here teaching in Los Angeles, both at UCLA and Southern Cal. He's known as the inventor of the serial system, but this piece is very tonal, very romantic. It sounds like Brahms and Mahler. Yeah, it's based on a 10-tone row instead of a 12-tone row. So, but it has functional harmony all the way through it, and it's one of those pieces that every musician needs to experience. So then we're going to bring Alan out because we can't let him rest too long, and he's going to play the Del Steggers Carnival of Venice. You got to see this. You can't just hear it because he actually twirls the trumpet while he plays the piece, and I still can't figure out how he keeps the embouchure set. It's the freakiest thing ever.
So he's playing the whole time. It's not like he's pulling this away.
There is no rest. Spins the trumpet and keeps the fingerings going with both hands. And, of course, Carnival of Venice is Carnival of Venice, and, of course, there are so many different versions of the Carnival of Venice. But, you know, Del Steggers is probably the most famous cornet player of his time, Sousa Band, Marine Band, all that. And so after Alan wows everybody, then we'll bring it back another Augusta Reed Thomas piece for the full ensemble called Magnetic Fireflies. You know, it's modernism at its best. I mean, truly, you hear these beautiful layers of Debussy. But then you have these powerful moments of Mahler, like this big trumpet solo just screams out over the top of this Debussyan-like, you know, layering. And the counterpoint is really great, and the effects, and the way she builds the timbral palette. I mean, she's a genius. Okay, and then we bring Alan and Rex out together. And then, you know, all bets are off because we're going to do Celebration, 10 minutes of absolute pure joy.
And that's Alan's composition.
And he wrote it, right. And then we're going to close the evening out with a new piece by John Astacio called Frenergy, which is a hybrid word from frenetic and energy slammed together, Frenergy. And it's just totally off the charts. It's based on a total hemiola. I mean, there's never two bars that don't have multiple metric fields going on. Our heart rate's probably at about 1,000 when we finish playing it, you know.
What is it like when the first rehearsal, when you're going to do a piece, and you say, this is on the program for April? Do you have the entire, all the musicians together, and you hand out the sheet music? Do you start to hear people going, oh, as they're looking at the notes, and it might be a more challenging piece?
Of course. I mean, they got this set of pieces, the rehearsal after the last concert. And,
right. And
you know, so, and they get a sheet very similar to the one we're looking at here that says, here's the program for April 20th. Bang, here it is. Go practice, you know, basically it's that message. And so, undergrads particularly, the grad students a little bit different, but the undergrads are going, I don't know who Augusta Reed Thomas is, maybe. Maybe I need to learn about her. But then they see, of course, the trumpet stuff. They go, oh, this is going to be fun. And then they see Frenergy, and they look at solid black, you know, because it's just a gazillion notes. And they go, oh, my gosh, where's the practice room? I got to get busy. So, yeah, all that happens, and it continues to happen as it develops. And that's the point for us. I mean, at a university, if their musical tastes don't change by the time they leave us from what they were when we got them, we failed them.
And many of these pieces are something the audience hasn't heard. So
hold
it back
for
us.
There's no doubt. Yeah, and again, that's a part of our mission is to enrich the community and continue to grow the community and help the community experience things that they maybe have not experienced before. And so that's a vital part of our mission.
Tuesday night the 19th, Wednesday the 20th, Walton Arts Center. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate you.
And one note about that conversation with W. Dale Warren. You heard him mention Augusta Reed Thomas, the composer. That is a composer in residence this week at the University of Arkansas. She was in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio earlier this morning to talk about Floating Temples, the world premiere work that will debut Friday night at Walton Arts Center with many musicians from the University of Arkansas on stage. She also talked about the act of composition and much more. That conversation can be heard tomorrow on Ozarks at Large on KUAF 91.3 FM. Still ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, the duo Strawberry Swing. They're from Clarksville. They're performing tonight at Common Grounds on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. And earlier we had them in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. That's ahead on Ozarks at Large. This is the spring fundraising week at KUAF. Our spring fundraiser goal, $150,000. Because of uncertainty of federal funding for KUAF this year, it's more important than ever that we hit our goal of $150,000. Not an arbitrary goal. We know how much we have to raise this spring fundraising week, in addition to what we raise during the fall fundraiser, in addition to what listeners like you contribute throughout the year, during the weeks that aren't fundraising weeks, people who renew, say, in the middle of summer or the middle of winter, plus what we receive from our underwriters and from the University of Arkansas, we know that the piece of the pie that is the spring fundraiser needs to be $150,000, so we have enough money to securely tell you that, yes, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and Prairie Home Companion, and Talk of the Nation, and All Things Considered, will be on the air for the year ahead. $150,000, our goal. We have already passed the halfway mark. Early this morning, we went past $75,000. We're pretty much on track where we need to be, but we need to keep the momentum going. That's where you come in if you haven't called yet. We get to that $150,000 goal, one call, one contribution at a time. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can pledge online at KUAF.com. KUAF, Ozarks at Large, NPR, all have a mission: to inform and educate our listeners about important events that have an impact on your life so you can make decisions about issues intelligently. Events like how candidates stand on issues, in-depth updates on what's going on in Washington. If the government were to shut down, what would that mean for you? The economy, is it heating up, cooling down, locally, nationally, why or why not? Where else on the radio dial can you find the kind of in-depth, insightful, informative news provided by a core of top-notch news professionals like Corey Flintoff, Don Gagne, Claudio Sanchez, Silvia Pajoli? They're the best in the business, and they're committed to providing you with well-balanced, thought-provoking news. We know you don't want to be without this kind of service, so we're asking you today to become a member or renew your membership at the amount you can afford and the amount you choose. You can do it right now, 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also contribute online at KUAF.com, and thank you.
I'm Adam Davidson.
And I'm Alex Bloomberg. We are with Planet Money.
Everything you hear on this show was funded by listener contributions.
Most people give an annual gift of a dollar or two a week. Some give a dollar a day. No matter what you give, it's fully tax deductible.
We are in a different business from commercial broadcast TV or radio.
Right. You know those other stations that are further down the dial that, like, they play commercials and they have loud shock jocks and it's like there'll be long commercial blocks. And the key difference, I think, here is that those stations, you are not the customer. Those stations, the people who buy the ads on those stations, that is who those commercial stations are trying to serve.
In fact, you, the listener, you're not the customer. You are the product. It is your ears or eyes that they are selling to an advertiser.
You're just a number to them. You're just a number that they can take to their corporate sponsors and say, look, this number of people are listening. Give us money so that you can have access to them.
Just think about the incentives on us. If we want to pay our bills, if we want to get our salary, what we need to do, which is much, much harder, by the way, we need to create such compelling programming that once a year we can come to you and get you to give money that you don't have to give. We have to make programming that's so good that when you reflect back on the last year, you think, you know what? Those guys are worth $50, $100, $1,000. That's how much value they brought to me.
Right, because the truth is you don't have to give. We give it to you for free. If you're one of those people, you're listening to this right now, and you want to support this mission, please call this number. Thank you very much for your support.
800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Also online at KUAF.com. Your contribution in the amount you choose that you can afford helps us to continue to bring you all the programs that you hear, from Performance Today to Fresh Air. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. And thank you very much. It's Wednesday, April 13th, 2011. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
You know, we had all that theater Friday.
Oh, gosh, from Fort Smith to Rogers to Fayetteville to
a ton of
Springdale,
theater.
Yeah.
And we did not include theater for young people.
Hmm.
Because there just wasn't room.
Okay.
But there's theater for young people opening tonight at Arts Live Theater in Fayetteville, The Secret Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves that book. I mean, is there anybody who doesn't?
I've never read the book.
You're not a girl.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a girl book.
Okay. I really don't know much about it, to tell you the truth.
Well, here's the story according to Mark Landon Smith. Mary and Colin thrive with the discovery that selflessness opens a secret door to happiness. They've had a bad childhood. Mm-hmm. They're encouraged by the warm-hearted Yorkshire maid Martha and her brother Dickon, who understands the language of birds, animals, and flowers. The crusty gardener Ben Weatherstaff, and of course the robin who leads Mary to the garden that changes her life.
Okay. So they talk to the animals?
Well, I don't think the animals talk back.
Okay.
That's a different play.
Okay, that's Dr. Doolittle.
Opens tonight at 7 o'clock at Arts Life Theater in Fayetteville in their cool little intimate performing space.
It's a great venue.
And tickets are $4 to $6. You can find out more at 521-4932 or at the very end, the other end of the spectrum. A little show called Sex, Please, We're 60.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, we're on both ends, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's in Fort Smith.
It is at Fort Smith Little Theater. And it sounds hilarious. It sounds like it's very much in the vein of Run for Your Life and those British comedies. This one is an innkeeper, an amorous neighbor, another neighbor who's developed a little blue pill called Venusia, a Southern belle with an overactive libido. They say this is adult humor.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it.
8 o'clock tonight, $10, 783-2966. I think one or the other is probably your best choice.
Becca Beckett-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Furman Garner Performance Studio are...
Christopher Copeland.
And Brennan Leeds.
And together...
We are known as Strawberry Swing, you know, title pending, so kind of working on it. It's always a work in progress. So.
Combined, those two gentlemen from Clarksville are 31 years old, a junior and freshman in school, respectively. But their debut album as a duo is almost ready to be released. No small project. It was recorded in Nashville and produced by Joshua Payne, a musician with Arkansas connections, and his own album on the venerable Verve label. When Joshua Payne was sent tapes of Christopher and Brennan, he became very interested in their music and took them under his wing. The result will be a debut CD later this spring. The duo will play tonight at Common Grounds beginning at 5:30. In advance of that performance, we asked Strawberry Swing to come to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Brennan Leeds explained how two guys still in their mid-teens were able to put together a duo that now has a CD ready to hit the stores, produced in a studio on Music Row in Nashville.
I sent out this email to a couple of friends, and I was like, hey, I want to start this band. And it kind of that's how it all started. We started with a four-piece band, and then it went down to three. And me and Chris have, like, eventually you figure out who you don't want to hang out with anymore.
And you dwindle down to the ones who want to stick with it and ones who don't. And, so.
And you know, that me and Chris can actually tolerate each other for long periods of time. Yeah. So
Do you write songs together?
Yeah, we always have. It's, you know, Chris somehow goes into these deep thing, like places in his mind, and he pulls out this amazing lyric.
And then Brennan writes the majority of the music, and so we kind of collaborate that way. And we get together and just mix up ideas, and, you know, I'll tweak some of the music, and he'll tweak some of the lyrics, and we'll get in together and like to write the harmonies and things like that. So it's usually a group process for the most part. So,
how many songs did you record for the album?
Well, we've got, I think it's 10 tracks on there, and we've got it's a 9-track, and we've got also a bonus track, which is kind of a concept song. Mm-hmm. And so, and we've been working on it for close to a year now.
Man, how many songs do you think we went through? About 32?
I think we counted around 33 or 34 we had to, you know, we started off with, and we dwindled down to the ones that we felt like belonged there. And so, you know, you gotta weed out the ones that don't belong and come up with a sound for the album. Yeah. And so,
have you, by any chance, I know you started as a four-piece and were a three-piece, now you're a duo, but have you, by any chance, looked at the careers or the musical stylings of any other duos?
Simon and Garfunkel, of course, you know.
Just a bunch. John Mayer, anyone from... I'm into Pink Floyd so big right now. So, you know.
But if we're talking about duos, there's this great duo from, I think, Norway. It's crazy.
They're called Kings of Convenience. And they're, I would imagine that many people haven't heard of them around here. But if they haven't, they should definitely look them up. They're a great acoustic duo along the lines of Simon and Garfunkel. And they play sort of soft, melodic acoustic music, and it's great. And so we kind of strive to go for that. Sound, you know, that being one of our influences.
Yeah. I love Hall & Oates. They're great. Yeah.
And another big influence of ours is Radiohead and Coldplay collectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you mind playing a song? We should tell people that tonight you're at Common Grounds.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. We'll play one we wrote called Sleepless in Seattle. I hear they're sleepless in Seattle. If I were them, I would be too. I keep trying to escape myself. I'm doing it all for you. I hear it's raining in Seattle. It never stops this time of year. Last time we drove to San Diego, you swore you'd never leave me here. You know what it's like in LA alone. You know I can't take your voice on the phone. So I waste some time while you make up your mind. Withered limbs and broken hearts, the bridges burn from where we are. Have we been broken all along? Well, don't tell me there's nothing wrong. You know what it's like in LA alone. You know I can't take your voice on the phone. So I waste some time while you make up your mind. Take your voice on the phone. You know what it's like in LA alone. You know I can't take your voice on the phone. So I waste some time while you make up your mind.
Hey, that's pretty darn good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How did do you remember writing that song? Do you remember the inspiration?
It was I came to Chris and I was like, "Hey man, check out this."
Yeah, he's been working on this kind of slap pattern. It's like sort of based off a John Mayer thing that he does, and he puts his own twist on it sort of, and he made the guitar part, and we just kind of mumbled words, nonsense words until we came up with something.
Yeah. Chris was going, like, and I was like, "Hey, did you say Sleepless in Seattle?"
I was like, "I have no idea."
When did you start playing the guitar?
It's hard to, point my finger, put my finger on the date, but probably 3 or 4 years, in the past 2 years, I've just really, it's become routine, and it's really fun. So,
I know a lot of times that Brennan always tells me that the days that are always end up bad for him. I'll pick him up after school, and we'll drive over to his house to have band practice, and I'll ask him, you know, how's your day? And he's like, well, it's kind of bad. And I was like, well, what was wrong? He's like, I don't know. And I'll go, have you played your guitar? And he was like, no, that's it. And no. So, you know, that's an important ingredient for him now. It's almost
the days
religious.
I play
so.
4 hours are the days that I am
happiest.
Happy.
So, you know, that's so. Always a good sign. So,
Brennan Leeds and Christopher Copeland are the duo Strawberry Swing, and they'll play tonight at Common Grounds in Fayetteville from 5:30 until 8:30. They both attend school in Clarksville, and their debut CD is expected to be finished in Nashville very soon and available later this spring. And thanks to their dads, Jody Copeland and Blaine Leeds, for driving them to our studio. You can hear more from the duo at OzarksAtLarge.com. And Sunday morning at 9 on Weekend Ozarks at Large, we'll hear another song they recorded in the Furman Garner studio.
Forever? I'm going to do Forever.
Yeah, so. Okay.
That song in its entirety on Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9. You can learn more about the duo Strawberry Swing at their Facebook page. This is Ozarks at Large. And that's almost the time we have for this edition of Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, April 13th. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Atkins. This week on Shades of Jazz with Robert Ginsberg, a special fundraising live broadcast with the Claudia Burson Trio in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Special guest, Ben Harris on guitar, a Northwest Arkansas native and veteran jazz performer. Burson has a unique and instantly recognizable piano sound. A stylist who can breathe new life into a standard, magically infusing her soulfulness and personality into the music. It's live jazz at its best. And it'll be an opportunity to show your support for jazz on KUAF during this spring fundraiser. It's Friday night live at 10 on Shades of Jazz on your source for jazz, KUAF 91.3 FM. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for calling in. If you have already or pledge online, if you haven't, remember, the reason you can hear Shades of Jazz, Ozarks at Large, The Pick and Post, and all the other great local programs on KUAF, also your support. Just like the national programs, like Talk of the Nation, Your financial support keeps great local programming, music, and news on the air. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can pledge online right now as well at KUAF.com. Every contribution gets us closer to our goal of $150,000 for this spring fundraiser. That's the amount we know we need to raise to keep the service that you rely upon just the way you like it. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823 or KUAF.com. And from everyone at Ozarks at Large, thanks.